1920, the year of six presidents. I welcome David Petrucia, historian of this and presidential elections on either side of it. But this is the election of 1920, and it begins with a tragedy. It is the night of 1st October 1919 at the White House. 1st October to 2nd October. The First Lady, Edith, hears a sound, and she rushes into the president's bedroom. He's sitting at the edge of his bed, Woodrow Wilson. He's reaching for a glass of water, but can't quite manage it. Why? Several days before, a stroke comes to him, and he's been raced back to the White House from a speaking tour. He needs help to get into the bathroom. His wife helps him, and then she rushes to the phone to call Dr. Grayson, because something's happened to the president, something in addition. She hears a thump, and she discovers Woodrow Wilson unconscious on the floor of his bathroom and helpless. I welcome David Petrucia to help us tell this story of, from that moment, everything changes in American politics. Woodrow Wilson is frail the rest of his life. He dies in 1924. But his legacy at that moment becomes a dominant story in the election of 1920 and every election since then, because it's about the League of Nations. David, congratulations and a very good evening to you. The League of Nations at that moment, what was it to the electorate looking to the campaign of 1920? What was it to the Republicans? What was it to the Democrats? Good evening, David.
Well, it's a bunch of things to a bunch of people. To that fellow on the bathroom floor in the White House, Woodrow Wilson, it's the Alpha and Omega. It's the big issue. It's his crusade in Europe, as Dwight Eisenhower would title a book a few decades later. To the other parties, particularly the Republican Party, it's a vexation. The party is split very badly because you've got the isolationists who want no part of it under any way, shape, form, or reservation. There are the reservations who say, well, we could go in if you tweak this, and we didn't have to be bound to go to war over Ireland or Mesopotamia or Montenegro or somewhere. And then there's the all-in guys who say, where for Wilson and where for internationalism and where for an end to war. And the American people, well, they're making up their minds. But basically, by the time this campaign is over, you're going to see where the public has pretty much flipped down, that they're skeptical of it and are not willing to commit it. And how much so is that? Think of when a Wilsonian, a League of Nations guy in 1920, gets in 1932, 1933, and stays in for a hell of a long time, and there's never a move to get the United States into the League of Nations, a United Nations at some point after the Second Great War, but not any old-fashioned League of Nations.
Wilson has been on a campaign since early September across the West, thinking he can never convince the East for his league. The South is solidly with him. He's a Democratic candidate for the Democratic president. But it's the Western tour where he speaks relentlessly and sonorously for his league and believes that he's persuading the public to him. However, then the stroke takes the strength away from him for the rest of his life. His wife and his physician begin to mask how seriously unhealthy the president is. The vice president, Mr. Marshall, is not interested in any way stepping forward. This is an old-fashioned understanding of the power of the presidency. And Wilson will not relent in his drive for the league. So who is it who's opposing Wilson? Two voices, one a former president, Teddy Roosevelt, the other the former president's very good colleague for many decades, Henry Cabot Lodge of Massachusetts, the leading foreign policy thinker in the U.S. Republican Senate. This is the story of six presidents, so we need to first attend to Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, who became an accidental president at the assassination of William McKinley from Ohio, and was a very successful, outspoken president for 7 years, turned the office over to his choice, Taft, William Taft, and then was disappointed with Taft's handling of the office. Taft was a much more agreeable, get-along-to-go-along man from the administrative state, we now call it. Taft was a thinker and an operator and an administrator, less a political actor in Teddy Roosevelt style. Woodrow Wilson wins a minority presidency in 1912 because Roosevelt splits the party. However, after the Bull Moose fiasco of 1912, Roosevelt comes back into the party. What is Roosevelt's opinion of Wilson at this moment? Teddy Roosevelt dies in January of 19. However, he's spoken against Wilson for years. What is his regard of Wilson right up to the end of his life, David?
Actually, he starts out liking Woodrow Wilson. He thinks he's a cool sort of new generation progressive guy. But Wilson keeps taking pot shots at him from his post at Princeton University. And eventually TR notices. And TR eventually notices that Wilson is president and TR is not. But what really sets the two apart is not so much domestic policy. You know, there are differences between the new nationalism of TR and the new freedom of Woodrow Wilson and how you regulate or not regulate the trusts. But what the real difference is in military preparedness and how you're going to react to German aggressiveness and sinking of American ships or British ships with American passengers on them. And being the feisty, manly kind of guy that TR is, he cannot stand Woodrow Wilson sending all these notes of protest to Germany, to Berlin, and he cannot stand where Wilson, because he is so fixed on being neutral in the European conflict, is not doing what he should do to prepare in case things don't work out and we end up in it. So he just cannot stand Woodrow Wilson. Now, at one point, he might have liked the League of Nations. He kind of toyed with the idea. But, you know, there's a line in one of the Marx Brothers movies where Groucho sings, "Whatever it is, I'm against it." So whatever Wilson was for at a certain point, TR was against it.
He passes away in January of 1919. However, it is your observation in this tome, David, that TR would have been a candidate for the presidency in 1920 if he'd lived. Is that accurate?
Yeah, his health is really precarious for a good year up until his death. He spends literally months in the hospital in New York City in that last 12 months of his life. He's a much sicker man than the public seems cognizant of. And I think that's because, I mean, the guy is so much larger than life. I mean, you shoot him in Milwaukee during the 1912 campaign in the chest, and he goes on to a speaking engagement and talks for 45 minutes. He gets almost dies in the Amazon when he's exploring that. He explores Africa. I mean, it's like the kind of guy you just can't kill or stop. But he's really winding down. And if he summons the strength to seek the presidency in 1920, he's unstoppable in the Republican Party, and it's going to be a Republican year. So he's going to be the guy.
In January 1919, Woodrow Wilson is in Europe at the beginning of the negotiations over what now is understood as the Versailles Treaty. And when he hears that Roosevelt is gone, what happens, David?
Oh, he looks just so happy. He's on a train crossing the border from Italy to France. And with him, when he gets there, is Lloyd George, the Prime Minister of Britain. And Lloyd George is just shocked at the language and the vulgarity, I think, even of what escaped, the hatefulness that escapes Woodrow Wilson's lips when he hears that Theodore Roosevelt has passed away.
That is Wilson's personality as seen by others as well. Colonel House, his political advisor, said the way to get close to Roosevelt is to find something you can mutually hate. He's a great hater.
Yes, that's of Wilson.
Wilson is a great hater. We're going to turn to another president next, because there are six presidents. We've now touched on two, and they're what you'd have to say, fierce relationship. We're going to the man who will be president in 1920, Warren G. Harding. The book is 1920, the year of the six presidents. David Petrucha is the author. I'm John Batchelor.